I believe he's not going to fail. He's not going to stop. Just because you're doubting and fearing doesn't mean that he dropped anything. He is still there. And I want to encourage you to sing that song and quote scripture that song is based off of, and God will certainly bless. Just a couple things that I forgot to announce that you need to be aware of. Young people that are going to be a part of the activity on Friday, that is going to be over at our house, and Dress Warm will be outside, campfire type of a thing, so keep that in mind. We'll give you some more details, but just so you have that in mind, remember that. And then also, for those of you who would enjoy getting out into our community and giving some of the businesses opportunities to do some advertising that they want to, if you would see me, let me know, and I will give you a sheet. Pastor Dan made up a sheet that has the different possibilities on there of what different ones might be interested in doing, whether a flyer, a yard sign, a bigger poster. There's some different things that are on there, and I can talk with you. Table tents, if you're interested in helping out, going around in the community and talking to some owners or some managers, and just seeing if they would be interested in wanting to help promote that, you let me know if you want to help out with that. Otherwise, I have a pretty big job this week, but just let me know if you want to help out, and I'll give you what you need to, a nice presentation to them of what we're doing and why we're doing it, and then also just the possibilities of what they can do. And so you see me if you're interested in something like that this week. All right, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to the book of Esther. Let's go to the book of Esther. And this morning in chapter 6 again, we're just about our way through chapter 6, but let's look at this interesting book that I have always been interested in, but I would say since studying it this time, even gaining more and more interest as we go along. So the Lord pointing out things that I never noticed before. And once again this week, you know, every week, I don't have every week lined out of what God's going to do in Esther. I just don't do that. But every week when I get done with the last one, you know, I go into the office the next week and I start to pray through, what, God, what do you have in this next little bit? Is it going to be the next phrase? Is it going to be the next chapter? I don't ever really know. Pray through some things. I read through it, in some cases a couple different times, and I rely upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to point out something like, there, right there, that is what needs to be done. There have been times when I have picked out some things, and the Lord said no to those things. But in the end, he points whatever we're supposed to look at out. There it is. And he puts it on my heart, and he doesn't let it go, and then I give it to you on Sunday. So remember that the things that we're hearing on Sunday mornings, these are things that the Lord wants us to hear. They're not things that I'm just picking out, okay? So this morning, you're on the winning team. And what I want us to recognize is a mighty faithful God, a mighty faithful God. He is victorious, and he can help us have victory as well. You know, when I was growing up, I went to a public school. We had recess, and recess was my favorite subject all throughout. I loved recess. I learned as much as I could on recess. And we went out there and we played. I'm talking, there was a group of us guys that, I mean, we would watch the clock and we would count down. I mean, and as soon as the teacher said the certain thing, we were out the door. We knew what we were doing. One guy had the football, the other guy had whatever, and we were out there, and we were in the heat of the battle before recess hardly started. And we were playing, and in that, you know, we would go out there, and of course we'd have to choose teams, and there were certain guys that we always wanted to be on their team, you know, because you're on their team, you're going to win. That didn't just end there. I went on to play. Some of you would, I don't know what level they do out here in Pennsylvania and Wyoming. We had what we called the Young American Football League, the YAFL, and that was, some call it Pop Warner, some call it midget football, some call it, I don't know what they call it around here, but I was involved in that. Fifth and sixth grade play, same everything, all the pads and everything, and I played. And there was a certain team the years that I was playing that everybody feared playing. And we had the professional teams for the little teams. And it was the Minnesota Vikings, okay? They weren't from Minnesota. They were from Rock Springs, Wyoming. But they represented that team. The Minnesota Vikings, they were the team when I played. They were a team to be feared. there is a reason why. And I think, what did you do? You know, I know that you were at home cheering them on, and maybe they heard, maybe that encouraged them. But what did you do to help out? We did this, you know. And I'm sure the people on his team said, we did this. But honestly, at that level, if you have one guy that can do that, I don't know how much we there was involved, but they did, okay? This one guy, he did it. And they won all the time. And that's just the way it was. Can I tell you something this morning? We are all on a team. And there's one on a, that we are on the team with. And honestly, it's foolish sometimes to say we, because he wins the victory all the time for us. And it is our privilege to get to be on his team. Look with me in Esther chapter 6 and verse 13. Now you're going to say, I'm going to read the verse and you're going to say, where do you get this? You might be able to pick it out. But look at verse 13. Now, hold on a second. I got you on the verse too soon. I know you're all reading it. Who's the team member that we want to be on? Because I know God's not mentioned in this book. Before we look down, where are we at in this? Remember the story of how everything has gone, you know, God's people in confinement there, and they are 70 years away, and God is doing some things. There's already been a group that has gone back to Jerusalem, but there's still some that are left back under the Persian rule here, and the king Ahasuerus, and the changing of queens, and Esther's there, Haman, who hates Mordecai, and Mordecai won't bow down to him, and so tricks the king into a decree to kill all of the Jews. Top to bottom, all the Jews are going to die. They've got a year to do it. And so everybody's excited about that. Esther is in the throne for such a time as this. Praise God that he allowed the king to put the scepter down so that Esther could go before and petition to the king. And the king gives her up to half the kingdom, a request that basically says, whatever you want, Esther, I'll give you. Esther requests for a banquet with him and Haman. And Haman's excited in the middle of the night. Well, they come to the banquet. At the banquet, what would you desire, Esther? And she says, another banquet tomorrow. And so they go their way. Haman's the happiest man in the world. And he is preparing a gallows for Mordecai. He's excited to be going to his second banquet in a row in 2 days. And the king has a sleepless night. He can't sleep. God does it for a reason. He reads the chronicles of all the events and recalls that Mordecai had actually saved his life, warning him of some men that were going to assassinate him, and he recognizes that nothing has been done for this individual, and so he appoints the first person that he sees in the court to go and bless Mordecai, and that just so happens to be Haman. Haman is there to do the horrible deed of glorifying Mordecai for all of his work. He does it. Mordecai, when it's done, goes back to his post. We looked at that last week. What does Haman do? And so you take your Bibles now, and let's look. What does Haman do? Well, he's going to go home. It's the only thing he knows to do. Wait for tomorrow, go home, and pout to those that are around him. Hopefully get some support from the people and companions that he has around him. Look at verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. So he was devastated, of course, with what is taking place. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Did you catch verse 13? All right, Haman is going home to mourn. He is devastated. The guy that I was going to kill is just been, I had to bless this guy. And this is horrible. And he goes home to get some help and support. You know how it is? You go home and you're just looking. There's certain times in our lives where we're looking for somebody just to listen and encourage us, right? Every once in a while, it backfires and goes the wrong way. Haman goes home, and he's thinking that his wife and his friends are just going to pat him on the back and say, listen, we can do this. We can get them. We're still going to, you know, it'll all work out. But that's not what they say, is it? Notice what's said here. Go back. If Mordecai, so they get together. This is the wise men, his friends, the Zeresh, his wife. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, and what's the answer to that? He is. Okay. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, those people that you were trying to get, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. That is an interesting response. You know, honestly, this is not about Mordecai, really. You know, when we look at this, if it's said here, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, you know, this really, now think about who's saying this. We have Persian people that are anti-God, anti-right, anti-anything that is good here. These people are not godly people. If we in our church call this the world, right? The people that we're not talking about we're not talking about the earth. We're not talking about space. We're not talking about all the planets. When we say world, we're talking about the group of people that are headed up by Satan, that are living in direct opposition to everything that God wants in Jesus Christ. The world, okay? This group of people right here are against God. They don't want anything to do with right. They don't want anything to do with God's ways. And therefore, they don't want anything to do with Mordecai. Honestly, this statement here has nothing really to do with Mordecai, does it? But Mordecai's mentioned here. But let's go beyond Mordecai. What does it say about Mordecai? If Mordecai be of the Jews, is this really about the Jews? The Jews here. We know that this is that there's a plan against the Jews here. The Jews are going to be destroyed. There, we know that there's going to be some things here. But you know, I don't think that really, I don't know that this group of people against God here are really scared of Mordecai. I honestly don't even know that these people are really scared of the Jews. Now they bring up both of these. Again, if Mordecai, so he's mentioned, be of the seed of the Jews, they are mentioned before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt surely not prevail against him. Do you see what they're saying? Go back to grade school. What's being said is, am I on here or not? That's because I didn't plug it in.
I was blaming Rodney. I'm on now, right? I just noticed my first field trip from the pulpit was unsuccessful. I could tell you couldn't hear. Now what was I? Oh, grade school. All right, so grade school. You know what? Right away, you know, the kid that didn't get on that kid's team, you know, the one that's gonna score all the touchdowns, it was a discouraging day because I'm going to lose. You know what? That's kind of like what's going on here. You know, we're not on the winning team here. Now, how did they identify the winning team here? They say, you know, if Mordecai be of the people of the Jews. So there's a couple options. Were they scared of Mordecai? Well, Mordecai certainly could have come with a vengeance and done something, but I don't really know that Mordecai was a huge threat. You know, what about the Jews? Should these people be afraid of the Jews? Because, boy, if the Jews turn against us, they're going to get us. Honestly, I doubt that they were just scared of the Jews turning on them and whipping them, okay? Any thoughts on really what they were scared of? Now, before you answer this, I want you to think back to other Old Testament situations. You know, when God's people came to them, were they so scared of those people? Were they so scared of that group of soldiers? Honestly, the soldiers of Israel honestly were not that intimidating compared to all these pagan other soldiers. They really weren't. But there was something unique about these people. And what was that thing, if I could say it that way? What was it? God. God was with him. Honestly, with all of my heart, I understand what these people are saying. They're saying, listen, if Haman and these Jewish people, if we're not on their team, if there's something, if we're against them, Haman, you're in trouble. God is never mentioned one time in the book of Esther. But I want to tell you, there are so many places that are shouting it out. And I would say verse 13 shouts it out. They understand if we're against these people, they know that there's something with these people. They know that there's something that's there that is devastating to them. And we know that it's God. Now, I want us to look at this. How are we going to apply this? We know that God is faithful, don't we? We've been learning that all year. God is faithful. What about us? I want you to see, first of all, notice, then said the wise men and Zeresh's wife unto them. The next word after him is what? If. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews. Now, what were they really asking the word if? Did they know? They knew, didn't they? Now, sometimes in our Bibles, the word that is here, there's a Hebrew word that is here, that is translated as if. Another word is since. Sometimes we use the word if, and it's a good word. It's a good translated word here. It's a good word, if. But sometimes it's used in a certain way. It's not asking a question. It's called a rhetorical question. Not if, but since. Since he's a part of the Jews, you're toast. Is what he's saying. Since. So it's a rhetorical question. Since would be a good word to think of. Now let's stop and make some applications here. Was Mordecai a Jew? What's the answer? Yes. Did the Jewish people have God with them? Yes. For the most part, they did. Now, we know that when the people rejected Jehovah, when they rejected him and they decided to do their own thing, God says, all right, you've got me, but you're on your own right now because you have decided to take yourself out from underneath me. And by the way, God allows us to do that if we want to. He says, okay, if you want to go out, I've got you covered. Christian, I want you to know something, that as a Christian, you never have to be out of underneath the protection and blessing of God. You never have to. He has provided himself to always be there on top, right there to protect and help you. But if you don't want it, God does not force you to stay there. You can leave if you would like. Now, you cannot go against your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved for sure. But you don't always have his protection if you want to. There were times that Israel was not under God's protection because they chose not to. They went out, they did their own thing, and they were in trouble. Now, we know that as we have trusted in Christ, we are under the protection of Jesus Christ. We're under protection of God. And positionally, we can say since. But I want us to think just for a moment before we look at that since, and there's going to be a lot with a since. Honestly, in order for us to have absolute victory, we've got to be able to fit. You know what? Mordecai is a Jew, and the Jews are with God, and therefore, We're not going to be able to overcome this. They conclude, Haman, you're not going to be successful. And they begin to fear. You know, they knew that Mordecai was a Jew and that God was with the Jews. But before we go any further, yes, if we have God, we are under his protection, and we're going to go there for the main part of our time this morning. But I just want to stop and say this. We've got to be very careful to make sure that we are a part of the if or the since. Are we walking with the Lord? Are we doing what he wants us to do? I remember Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 15. If you want to turn there, go ahead. You remember Joshua's question to the people. Joshua knew. He had already made a decision for himself. There were going to be opportunities for the people to do what they wanted or to do what God wanted. And Joshua had made a choice for himself. And you remember in Joshua 24, verse 15, and he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. He said, hey, you've got a choice to make. You want to do your own thing, you've got a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell? So he said, you can do that. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he's making a decision. He says, you know, and I can tell you what my family's going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. You can go that way or you can go this way. This is what we're doing. We are going to go with the Lord. My question to you is, have you made the decision you're going to stick with God? You know what? All of us in this room, no doubt, I think if I asked for a raise of hands and you all raised your hands for it, if you were willing to raise your hands, I have no doubt that probably you would say, yeah, we're for the Lord. Probably doubt that there's somebody in here that says, no, I am not for God. I'm against God. You probably wouldn't be here. It's a possibility. But you probably wouldn't say that. Most likely you're going to say, yeah, we're for the Lord. But I want to ask you practically, are you making decisions on a daily basis that are for the Lord? You know, they say that the choice, who we really are is based, and who we are in person really is based upon the choices that we make. If we choose to do certain things, that builds our reputation and declares who we really are. We can say we're something, but if we don't make choices towards it, it's probably not the truth. The choices that we make dictate, or they kind of indicate, would probably be a better word. The choices that we make indicate who we really are. Let me ask you a question. What are the choices that you make on a daily basis? Are those choices that are for God? Joshua says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. You've got that side, or you've got serving the Lord. You know, a good sticker or paintings or, you know, things that people put up on their house, or a plaque people put up on their house, is a sign that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to encourage you, what a tremendous thing, but is it real? It's good to have it there, but is it the truth? Are you choosing in your household to serve the Lord? Well, I'll tell you, you can say yes every day of the week this week if you want to, but the fact is you need to ask the question, what are the choices that I'm making? The choices that you made this week, did you choose to serve the Lord? You know what? There's choices in everything that we do. You can choose things for yourself, or you can choose to serve the Lord. Guys, what did you choose to look at this week? What did you choose to think about? You chose to gratify your own self and your own flesh, or you chose to serve the Lord. And that is indicative of who you really are. So I ask you the question, did you choose this week to serve the Lord? Or did you choose this week to serve yourself? You have a choice. You can take one or take the other. Who you are are the choices that you make. When you make choices, it's because that's who you are. Your choices tell other people who you really are. So you chose certain things. These choices come from values and treasures of our own hearts. The reason why you chose to do that thing this week, the reason why you chose to look, the reason why you chose to think, the reason why you chose to do that action, whoever you are today, not just picking upon the men, whoever you are today, it's based upon not only your choices, but those choices came from a value system. The reason why you chose to look and think is because you value that. So my question to you is this morning, what is your values? What do you value today? What are you valuing? What is a treasure inside of you that when somebody gets close to touching, I'll tell you what, those are the things that are running our lives. We all like to say, oh yeah, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Well, I ask you, number one, what were the choices you made this week? I ask you, number two, what are the values in your heart this week, right now, that you have, that you love, your passions, your pursuits? What are they? Where do these passions and values come from? Well, they come from the foundation that we choose to be a part of. You see, when a person decides, just like Joshua, I'm all in for God. You know what they're all of a sudden going to start to value and treasure? The things that God wants. They're going to value that. They're going to treasure those things. And as you value and treasure the things that are God's, guess what choices you're going to make? You're going to make choices that go according to who God is and what He wants. And as you make those choices, you're going to be indicating to the rest of the world who you are. I am a Christian that loves God because this is what I choose to do. I don't know if you followed through with those things, but it's very important that we understand that. So I ask you, have you chosen to be a part? They recognized that Mordecai was a Jew, and they knew the reality. The word that's used here is if or since. Since Mordecai's a Jew, Haman, you're in trouble. Can I say this? If you're on God's team, if and since you are, now we're getting to that next point here, but I ask, are you? Number one, are you saved? Have you ever come to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you declared yourself a part of His team? God's opened the door for you. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that God has opened the door for you, anybody to be on His team. Can you imagine if in grade school, you know, that person says, whoever wants to be on my team, come. Everybody goes to his team. And there's nobody on the other side of the team. You realize that's the way the Christian life is? We have an opportunity to go and be a part of His team. There only needs to be one team. Have you come to trust Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior? Now, I trust that most of you have done that. I would say this, if there's anybody that's not, God has victory, almighty victory for you in life if we be a part of His team. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He's already done the work. He's already given us the mercy. He's already given us His grace. Would you take it? Would you be a part of His team? But the second element to this is very, not just positional, but it's very practical. Are you acting on His team this week? Are you, not just this week, in life, are you acting on His week, on his team? Are you making those choices that are godly? Choose you this day who you will serve. Are you valuing the things of God? Is God your foundation? Is He your motivation? Is He your salvation? That is going to indicate the truth. So here we see, first of all, if we're on God's side, and that's a question, but if you are, then it is a fact, and that's where we want to go for the remainder of the time. Let's just assume, if you're not on His team, I'm encouraging you to get on His team in salvation, but also practically, let's be what God wants us to be. But the second thing, and this is the encouraging part of the message, which I intended it to be, and that is this, when we are on His team, if you're here this morning, you say, I have come to trust Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, and I am, or I'm trying to guard my foundation and who is my value system and make those choices, I am declaring, I'm with Joshua here, I want to be on the Lord's side. Then you're a part of this if or since word. So all of that, just in one word, he says, if or since, if Mordecai, or if you are, then here's the truth. So practically, positionally and practically, but let's look at this absolute victory. Notice, go back to verse 13. So he says, if Mordecai be of the seed, and he is of the Jews, they are, before whom thou begin. Who has began to fall, so the people that you are just against there, notice what the very next word is after fall. The next three words, thou shalt not. There is a guarantee there. Now remember, who's speaking these words? The world, right? Again, we categorize this as the world. These are not God's people. These are people that are against. They knew better. They knew about Mordecai and his people. They knew about Jehovah. They knew about them. You will not overcome. There's no way. Thou shalt not prevail. Can I tell you, we're on God's team? It is an impossibility to fail. It is an impossibility to fail. No, that doesn't mean that in life that we don't fail. There are times when we make a choice. Why do we fail, though? It's because we walk off of God's team for a moment. His practical team, if I could say, positionally we're still on His team, but when you choose not to live by the tools that God has given, which we're going to look at some tools here that He's given to us in just a moment. By the way, God has given us tremendous tools to be victorious in our Christian lives. He's given us everything. Study the Scriptures. They're filled with tools to be victorious in the Christian life. He's given us so much. He's given us so much Scripture to be victorious. When we decide to say no, then yes, we're going to fall and we won't be victorious. But that's not His fault. You can be victorious all the time. Christians, can I tell you that if you're saved and you're on His team, if is true, or since is true, then guess what? Thou shalt not. They're not going to prevail. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, right? Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He has no domain over us. What a tremendous thought. He goes on to say, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Honestly, when I got on that one individual's team in grade school at recess, I had good chances of winning, but it didn't always mean that. Some of those guys, some of the time we lost. That team, you know, in the football team that we played in that I told you about, you know, the Minnesota Vikings. Honestly, they nearly won everything, but there were times that they didn't win everything. We know that human effort is gonna fail at some point in time. We understand that human teams like that, there's not an absolute victory there. But folks, can I tell you that it's very different when we're on God's team, living practically on His team. The words can be used, thou shalt not, on the other side. That they can't prevail, but shall surely fall. There is absolute defeat on that side as we are on His team. And that's what the world understands. The world knows that. And they declared it right here. But my question is do you know what the world knows? Why are people so scared for God to win in America? Because if God wins in America, their way's toast. Why are they? Have you answered that? Have you asked that question right now? How can these people think this way? Have you asked that recently in our world that we're living in? How could they possibly think this way? How could they possibly go that direction? And to a group of people like this, it seems absolutely impossible. I'll tell you why it's possible. Because the human flesh is absolutely wicked. And anything that gives a threat to this flesh, in the flesh, I don't want it. And if God is a threat, just like that article that I read, again, Jesus, I think even the title of the article, something about Jesus being a threat to this individual's private life, being a threat. Do you know that Jesus is a threat to our flesh? Because where Jesus is, flesh can't be. One of the two. You can either walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. Do you know that there's no way, it's humanly impossible to be in both? You know, you can't accomplish anything good for God being in the flesh. You can't. It's impossible. It might look like it, but it's counterfeit. It wasn't right. You cannot do right in the flesh. You cannot accomplish, everybody listen to this, you cannot accomplish anything for God when you're in the flesh. Nothing. Nothing. You're operating in the flesh, you cannot get anything accomplished for the Lord. You're operating in the flesh, flesh is against God. And our world understands that. That's why they're scared to death. That's why we get rid of God in the schools. We get rid of God in our churches. We get rid of God in every avenue. We don't want God anywhere. And why are these people so passionate about it? Because it doesn't make sense. I'll tell you why. It does make sense to me. It makes sense because they've got to get rid of God. They've got to get rid of God because God poses a threat to them. They've got to get rid of God because where God is, we're in trouble. And that's the truth, folks. Everybody listen to that. That's the truth. Where God is, they're in trouble. And so we've got to do something to get rid of God in our world today. That's their thoughts. We've got to get rid of God. The opposite is true. If we will have God, if we will stand on God, guess what? We have victory. Does everybody hear that? God is the answer to our system today. God is the answer to our world. God is not just the answer to our world and our country. God is the answer to our church, and God is the answer to you and your family and your personal and private life. God is the answer. It's time to take God on your side. The world understands that God poses a threat to them. God is a threat. We've got to get the world out. And these people said, if God's around, they didn't say his name, but that's basically what they're saying. If we're dealing with this, Haman, you're toast. My friends, I want to tell you something. When we've got God on our side, we have victory. The world understands that, but I ask you this morning, do you understand that? Let's take our Bibles for just a little bit and reinforce that before we're dismissed. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. I want you to look at this. I've got a list of verses. It's really the end of my message. I'm done talking. Let God talk for a few minutes and we're done. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. I hope that these verses are an encouragement to you. They all have their own context. I don't have time to get into it, but it's saying the same thing, every one of them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? Things that are opposed, things that could go wrong. If God be for us, now there's a question being asked, but it's the same thing as that other question in the book of Esther. It's really not a question. It's not a question, it's a statement. If God be for us, question, is he for us? Yes. Then who can be against us? And what's the answer? Nobody. And when it said who can be, there might be people against us, but it's like stand against us. And what's the answer? No. My friend, I want to tell you something. There is no victory there. If we've got God, then who can be against us? Tremendous verse. Genesis, go back now to Genesis 15:1. Abraham is the, Abram, I should say, referred to, is the subject here. Genesis 15:1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. All the way back in Genesis, the same principle was there. Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know what he was telling Abram there? He said, if I'm here, and I am, he said, I am with you, then you are blessed. He said, you don't need to be afraid, because when you're on my team, there's victory. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9. I know that you're going to be turning a lot. Turn quickly. I want you to see these. I want you to leave today understanding, as I'm with God, I've got victory. If I'm with God, I've got victory. I want you to be encouraged today. You've got victory at your fingertips. It just depends on if you want it. Comes back to Joshua's statement in verse 24. His question, choose you this day. Who are you going to choose? If you choose God, you've got victory. Did everybody hear that? If you choose God, you've got victory. You've got to choose God. You've got to choose his way. Numbers 14:9 says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. You probably understand the context here. Those people on the other side of Jordan. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And by the way, what was the response when God was with his people and the people were with their God? Were the people on the other side scared? Absolutely. Every time. They knew that I keep saying it this way, they're toast. They knew it. They knew it. They knew they were in trouble because God was on their side. Whether they had a little army or whether they had a big army, they were in trouble because God was on their side. And the people worried. And here it said in Numbers chapter 14, if you have God on your side, they're bread. Huh, you wondered where I got the toast from. All right, they're bread for us. They're we can take it and eat it. Deuteronomy 33:29. Go there quickly. Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. Those are tremendous phrases there. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and they shall tread upon their high places. I want to tell you something. Everybody look up this way. That verse, Deuteronomy 33:29, is just as good for us today as it was back then. I want to tell you something. When we've got God, listen, thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. You know what? We're living in a world of a lot of falsehoods. It's going to be found that way. We've got to go with God. Go with God on his way. He is going to win. Eventually, he's already got the victory. We've just got to see it. Joshua 10, verse 42. And all these kings and the land did Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Just a quick instance of that having or taking place. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. I'm sorry, I just there's a volume of verses here that I just want you to see. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Jonathan's answer was like this. You know, he had his armor bearer there. He said, "Listen, it's just us two." Looking down through the, you know, the crack in the, you know, and they see the enemy and says, "Listen, if God's with us and he just declared to us that he was, it doesn't matter if there's two of us or 2,000 of us." That is an interesting thought, isn't it? Because two guys against however many thousand, that seems impossible, but it doesn't matter. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can I get that into your heads this morning and into your hearts? If God is with us, and he is, again, since he is, if you're siding with Jesus today, positionally in salvation and practically, now again, that if on practically is a big if. Choices, treasures, foundation. If you are, you have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Nothing, because God is victorious. I'm not going to read 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. This is the story of David and Goliath. Remember the words that are there? If I've got God, that giant is in trouble. And that those were David's words. But if you're taking notes, write that down and look at it later. The Lord, David said in verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver me into my hand." He's talking to Goliath. He said, "God's going to deliver me. I already know." You know, David understood. David understood that God was on his side. Everybody else was just looking and scared to death. David said, "If God's on our side, we've got it." Psalm 27, 1 to 3, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Chapter 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is no need to fear." Wow, I put a lot of verses here. I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Because of time, I can't read all these, but if you're taking notes, let me just list them to you. Psalm 56, 4, look at it. It's tremendous. Psalm 56, 11 is another tremendous verse. I got to read Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." You don't need to be afraid. Isaiah 50, verses 7, 8, and 9 is a good passage to see that we don't need to be afraid. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Jeremiah 1:19, "If they shall fight against thee, they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." It's good for us as well. Jeremiah 20 and verse 11. And then I'll read 1 John 4:4, which you're probably familiar with. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Tremendous. And of course, there's automatic defeat for the enemy. As we close, a few applications. Number one, you know what? Maybe in life, there are physical enemies. Health. You know what? Health can be an enemy so often. Health situations in life that you fear and worry about. My friends, can I tell you that you don't need to be afraid of health situations because God has already given victory? It doesn't mean that you're going to get rid of your cancer. It doesn't mean that you're going to get rid of that pain. But God has promised that if you're going through that, He'll give grace to overcome that. God will give grace. My friend, I want to tell you, what a blessing. If He's not going to take it away, He's going to give you more grace. Paul said grace is a blessing. He overcame the bad. Health situation, financial situations which you don't understand and don't know how, and it's impossible. But my friend, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and God can take care of it just as good as any. We don't have to worry about those things. Yet we get so afraid. But if you're on God's side, guess what? You've already won. I want you to get it today. God's team has won already. Be on his team. Social struggles, that situation, that relationship at home or at work that you're struggling with. My friend, get on God's team and God has the victory for it. God has the victory. Spiritual enemies that come, there hath no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Understand that God has already won the battle for you. You can be victorious. Why? Because God is faithful. Claim God, and God can help you do the impossible. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." You know what he's saying there? If you're on God's team, you're a winner. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in a very faithful and mighty God. Understand that you're on the winning team. Claim him for your own. Positionally, if you've never trusted in Christ, get on his team. Practically, if you're not living on his team, then live it. Having him be the foundation. Having him be your value and treasure. Having him be your choices. Having him be your reality. Get on his team and you're going to win. The victory is sure. And the world says, if he's on God's team, there's no way. There's no way. I believe with all of my heart that our world today understands this truth. That's why we're seeing the fight that they're putting out today. The question of this morning is, do you understand it? Do you understand this truth? I hope that you'll get it today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, would you help us to get this? Is an elementary truth that we need to get. We all know it, but do we know it? Lord, I pray that we would live it. I pray that we would live it. This group of Persian people understood that if Mordecai, being a Jew, there's no way that they were going to win. And the world knows it too. But God, would you help us to claim the victory that's ours? Be on your side, and you're going to win. God, help us to go out encouraged, motivated to be on your team, doing your work. Lord, of course, also understanding when we decide to do our own thing, we're not on the right team. We're not acting on the right team, and we're left to ourselves and the struggles of life. Oh, God, help us to be with you. Thank you, God, for the help that you've provided for us, the victory. God, thank you for the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God, you're faithful. Help us to do our part and be filled with faith towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.